March 4, 2005. It's a Watt from Pedro show. For Pedro show, March 4, 2005 edition. Brother Matt,
ooh.
Yeah, how you doing? Started off with John Coltrane. I'm Old Fashioned, Blue Train, and that song right there was Dirty Blue Jean. I Can't Be Fart. And it was picked by our guest for today, Juliana.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Hello.
I don't know, why'd you pick that song?
Well, like I said, Captain Beefheart was something very new to me. I mean, different, very different from what I'd heard. And my only regret is I never got to hear him play live, because I was way too little to get into any place he was playing at, but always thought it was real intense.
What were you listening to before that?
The Who. Yeah, very different.
Although they were contemporaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, it was when I met Michael and turned me on to all kinds of music, so it was a big door opening.
Yeah, Lise worked... Maybe you've heard this before, but she worked at the parking lot, and Nanny worked at
Jack in the Box
with Dee Boone. Uh-huh. And they both were talking about these weird guys that worked with them. They didn't know that we knew each other. Juliana's his sister, so.
Yeah.
Weird connect. I think they were the only punk rock girls in Pedro.
And I was the only one in Catholic school, so.
Yeah, she's Mary Starr.
Yeah, I took a lot of flack at the time.
A lot of blows.
Yeah, short hair. Nobody else had the short hair.
But she had to wear the outfits.
Yeah, with the short dyed hair, so it, yeah.
Dyed to match the outfits?
No.
Nowadays, though, it's so calm.
Yeah.
Nobody worries, but in those days, God, it was such a freak out for me.
Oh, it was bad.
Such a freak out. You went to the Minuteman Louis Jamicano premiere last week. You too, brother, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
I had a poster up there on this little
book. Yeah, it was kind of trippy seeing Dee Boone like that.
A lot of weird memories, man.
Yeah, everybody else put on some years. Dee Boone's frozen in time at the same spot. That was great footage seeing him bounce around.
Oh, yeah.
My ma really tripped on the shoes.
The little loafers?
When those people gave them the Gucci's? Yeah. Because he was pretty light on his feet.
Yeah, he was.
For being a big man. But,
yeah.
And one of the things, live songs, we go into Corona, and she said that was totally amazing how he bounded from one side of the stage. She saw us kind of later. She didn't see us when we were like 22 first doing it. And they had footage of those, like our first paid gig at the Starwood, and she was busting up, man. She couldn't believe it. The whole band, she thought, was pretty hilarious. She was proud of it. A lot of people have been writing me since then that saw it, and they've been discussing like changes they would have made to it, which I guess people are prone to do. What would have you? You know, the kids who made it, Tim and Keith, were actually too young to see the Minuteman.
Yeah.
So. Well, you've done anything different?
No, I'm sorry I couldn't be interviewed. I was working at the time, so it kind of made it difficult.
Like some people wanted them to discuss the touring more, or discussing our day jobs more, or the New Alliance label.
Yeah, New Alliance didn't come up at all.
No.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the punk scene, was not just making a band, but making labels. I mean, it was all kinds of things, just doing everything for yourself. So maybe that should have been explored. You know, the DVD is going to be twice as long, so
that's
maybe
great.
We can add things to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have lost my interview. But otherwise,
you know about that.
Yeah, what happened with you?
Yeah, the Gremlins got it.
Oh.
Vanished.
Yeah.
But I thought those guys did a great job. There's always something you could add or change.
Yeah, like somebody wrote me and said, why when you're discussing the records, you're holding up the CDs? They're too little. You should have been holding up the albums. Which might have made more sense, too, because in those days there wasn't CDs yet. There only was albums.
I thought for what the guys knew, they did a good job. I mean, if they weren't there, how were they to know?
They did a great job.
You know?
Yeah.
This is another thing, too, people don't realize. A lot of Pedro people didn't know what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny that so much interest, that's not funny, it's pretty generous of people, take a lot of interest in this now, but in those days, God, we were so small. Yeah, like I said, they were the only punk
packed.
Girls.
Yeah, it was packed.
People all over, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I didn't know who would be there. Except people who knew us, you know, all those young people.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
That was a trip because Craig Ibarra walked up to me and said, hey, you turned me on to them. He was another Catholic schoolboy, yeah. And I mean, he had no idea. He just walked in. He goes, I remember you. And he goes, you turned me on to those guys. And he was there. So it was kind of cool to see one recruit who's still
puts out that fanzine called The Rise and the Fall.
Yeah, he rocks.
Yeah. So
he's involved with the skate park.
He does all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since those days way back when. He shook my hand and said, thank you, man, for, you know.
Cool.
Because it was kind of hard to get people on board. Especially in the school we went to, so I didn't make a lot of friends.
Is he a Marysburg?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He went to San Pedro High, I think, but we're talking elementary school. Because how old was I when I met you, Michael? Are we talking like 8 or 9?
Yeah, she's...
I was, you know, so...
I was only 22, 21.
So I started listening to it way back then.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. They didn't know, her two other sisters didn't know. They thought they each knew the only weirdo punk rocker. They didn't know that we actually knew each other. In fact, we were in a band together. That was kind of a freaky thing.
Yeah.
Because I had worked at Jack in the Box with D. Boone. Then I came over to the...
Ticket booth.
Yeah, Catalina Terminal parking lot, Berth 93. And he stayed at Jack, and that's when Nanny comes on over there. Lise was already working. Vito Gioiello got me the gig. I haven't seen him in a long time. You know what's funny? As people have talked to me from Pedro that are my age, back in those days, never saw us, like Danny Don Dalton, right? The lawyer from Salt Lake City. And so they're... Because she wrote me a big email how he would have made everything much more different, way different. Like, he would want us to preface the context the Minutemen came up in. Why did you write the songs you did? And this kind of thing like this. And he tells me, well, you know, in a way, I wouldn't have to ask all this stuff if I would have saw you, if I would have been there. But I had all these preconceptions about punk, and I didn't want to see it. Steve Evans, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know, these guys are our age. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't conducive for checking out. There's so much, like, preconceptions about the thing. It was like, I don't even want to see it.
Yeah.
Jerry Trebetich, Pete Mazich, my second man guys, the original second man guys. They were older than Juliana. I mean, maybe younger than me, but same thing. You know? And Jer was at the thing. I saw him in the lobby with his baby and his wife. And he's like, yeah, I should have went and saw you guys. You know, but you can't blame anybody. It's just circumstance.
Yeah.
What's really sad is, like, the Boone's gone. So,
yeah.
You know, all we have is that his works.
Yeah, that was great to see that footage.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed.
I didn't either.
I mean, where did
Starwood stuff, that's our first paid gig. God, they're spitting on us pretty good. Juliana, you picked this song that we're going to play next. Something from an English band called Soft Boys.
What about it? Well, Soft Boys was another... band that you turned me on to. Cannabis was the first one. This is a song that wasn't on Cannabis, but I found on the net. I liked it. Kind of reminds me of the older, more mellower.
He's still playing
rock and roll.
And he's still touring, and sometimes he does soft voice too. Robin Hitchcock.
Last time I saw Robin Hitchcock was years ago, actually, when I was still living down here, married to Bubba, I think at the time. Nan and I drove all the way out to San Juan Capistrano
to the coach house,
yeah, by ourselves in pouring rain. He did a great, great show, great set, very good guitar player. It's amazing that three dudes can put out that much sound.
Was he with Soft Boys?
No, he wasn't with Soft Boys, which was another thing I didn't get to see. Cause
well, what happened was the guy, the lead guitar player went off and made Katrina and the Waves. He married a U.S. girl. And she sang They had a big song.
Yeah.
But then that wore out. It was like a one song thing. And so he went back and played with Robin Hitchcock, and they got Soft Boys again. I remember the album. Yeah, it had the bees, the kids. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it sounded like.
That was a trip.
You know, I had not any idea. But he turned it over and had a picture, and he had one guy twice. Maybe it's Rip Robin Hitchcock, but he's mm-hmm. there twice. It was like, wow, why would they do this? Like his face, and then next to him is him again, like the double. It's like, wow, this is kind of strange. And then I played it, and it was bizarre. Nothing I expected. A lot of lead guitar.
Yeah. No, he was.
Kind of psychedelic.
Yeah.
Kind of like Syd Barrett. So, okay, Soft Boys, Watt from Pedro show.
Well, you were the one that made me feel so natural. Right between your lips, just like a piece of toast. And you treated me as more than just an animal. Cause you knew that I could always be your
down to pick up worms after rain or the runoff from hosing down lawns or washing cars has trapped them squirming on the pavement, unable to make it back to safe sod whence they came. If they show any signs of life, I move them to a patch of dirt or grass or a cozy heap of wet newspapers, anywhere there's less chance of them being stepped on or dried up by the onslaught of sun. For as long as I can remember, I've done this, and I'm confident I always will.
No.
from Pedro show. That's Richard Hell and the Voidoids from 1977. Love Comes in Spurts. You know about Bob Quine, right?
No.
He passed away. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something. I got to record with him once. He's a great cat. It's really sad. Richard Hell, you were talking about him. His music was playing, and he's going to be coming this spring to do a reading from a new book he wrote. That's what he does now, mainly. Writes.
Right.
Somebody told me he sold his, maybe he told me, he sold his, a lot of his old punk artifacts to some museum kind of thing or some dealio. Archive. He has a trippy part in the movie, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's like laughing. He's like, well, if this guy was inspired by me, okay. He's sweet. He's a really cool guy. There's this thing Thrill Jockey just put out. Thrill Jockey's a Chicago label. Like Tortoise. Watson does stuff with them. I think Georgie, when they do the Red Crayola, it comes out through Thrill Jockey. It's Touch and Go or something. It's all one big thing. Anyway, they put up this DVD, like 5.5 hours of people spieling about what musical moment was profound on you. Mm-hmm. And they came to one of my gigs in Baltimore. Well, Baby Lake, this cat who lives in Baltimore, he filmed it. We conked at his pad. And I talked about my moment. I mean, I've had a lot of moments. Everything's fresh on me. But this is the one I talked about, was putting the picture of Richard Hell on my bass. Do you remember my bass before I painted it? I painted it red and blue and put Pedro on the front, right? Or blue and white. Like spray paint, like sky or something, and then red letters, Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before that, it was brown. You remember when it was brown?
I remember when it was
okay,
brown.
Okay, it was brown, and that's when it... Because I went to these punk gigs, I saw, oh, these guys... Because nobody put shit on their guitar.
I remember the Madonna.
Rock. Yeah, later on I had all kinds of Madonnas. But, like, this is the first time I put something on a guitar. Because I saw these punk rockers, they did. I thought, wow, this is neat. So I put a picture of Richard Hell. Because the Voidoid album had a sleeve with all these pictures, a collage he made. And words on one side and then pictures. Came in the bathtub. His driver's license. No. Bob Quine's Berklee School of Music ID card. Just weird stuff. Edgar Allan Poe. There's a picture of Richard Hell. He'd take these funny pictures where he'd like roll up his pants, right? To his calves. I mean, he was bizarre. I mean, especially... A lot of that stuff seems normal now, but in those days, like, nobody looked like him at all. So I put a picture of him on the bass. So I talk about that in the spiel. And it was kind of intense because a lot of people got angry over that. They'd see that stuff. But not D. Boone. D. Boone asked me to spray paint his guitar. He got a Stratocaster just like Bob Quine on the back of Blank Generation. Bob Quine's got a Stratocaster. It's like... Those couple of years, Fender was making them black with the white covers. I mean, it's very particular to that era. And Steve Boom got one just like that. But then he asked me to spray paint it all up, too. You know, and we spray painted our clothes, which would be a trip because it would make them so...
stiff.
Yeah, and then brittle. They would tear, like the paint would eat in the fabric. But we're all into that. And then... kind of stopped because people gave us so much shit. So we thought, well, we'll be more punk in the mind. Less with the clothes. That was wild. So you see, all the money for this thing, it's called Looking for a Thrill. Can't buy a thrill. That was Steely Dan. But it's called Looking for a Thrill, and all the money goes to Greenpeace. So if you see this thing out there, it's all these people talking. Thurston, a lot of cats from the Chicago scene, you know, that does that, but the other folks too,
Bjorn.
Yeah, yeah, right. I was going to say that Iceland lady. Before Richard Hell was Petra Hayden with I, last tune on her Imaginary Land solo disc. She did that thing on a four track, and that's the thing that gave me the idea to ask her to do Sellout, because, you know, she didn't even know of it. And, but I knew, I could just tell, wow, if she can do this, she can do that easy. And it was kind of a trippy time for her, so it helped her out. We talked about this before. Before Petra, we had Richard Meltzer with a little spiel called Always. Richard Meltzer, a big hero of mine. These spiels I play, you know, are stuff that he's flowed me that I'm working into tunes for this project I got called Spiel Gusher. Yeah, cool. I'm going to try stuff on the pewter, you know. I got this stuff where called Reason. It's like synthesizers and loops, stuff like this. I'll play some bass on it too, but this idea of using samples, I'm going to try to get into.
Yeah, it's like a little spoken word type of creation music.
Yeah, yeah, like a collage or like being a conductor. So, thank you, Richard, for that. And we start off with Soft Boys. Have a heart, Betty.
Betty, not baby.
I wrote. That's a lot mellower than the Soft Boys, the Cannabis. So it's later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you picked a song here, Juliana. X.
Yeah.
LA band, probably the first of our local bands that got big. Well, I guess the Dickies. Actually, Dickies is the first band to go to England, get signed and all that. But I always think of X as like, remember there was these two choices. Never talked about this before, but it was a New Year's Eve, and it was X opening for Devo, which was a big deal at Long Beach Arena. And then it was Germs and Joanna Went at Hong Kong Cafe. And I went to Germs. Nothing against X, Devo. Went with Joe Biza. Yeah. Okay, so X, Watt for Pedro show.
Take the colors on the smoke, breathe it in. And now all I'm Like a well, large and round with a water spout trail, made of a pine tree upside down, so it looked like a spout shooting off of the ground on top of Whale Mountain, that is. Whale Mountain looks like a well, a curved piece of rock looked just like its tail, and when the earthquake that tail did shake, looked like the whale was swimming, the Whale Mountain, I mean, was swimming. Drop it all if you want to, I'll see you in the afternoon. Put the past behind you, what a strange cartoon. If it all falls apart though, someone says I told you so, don't listen to them. Throw a coin in the fountain and meet your old friends on the top of Whale Mountain. Whale Mountain is where we'll go. He had a band and a practice space, a studio with microphones, so it's no wonder you've written songs that everyone knows. You had an agent, a gig, a promo photograph to make it all come together. So you trade a sweatshirt in for leather. You can't be a shepherd if you don't have a flock. You can't wear the shoe unless you put on the sock. Nothing to do but trade your star. No, you can't start a spark without the rock. And you can't start a spark without a rock.
Is there any too much? Echo. Goodbye, sweet dreams. Take one and last cut. Take two. Last cut. Right.
That's Wire, Watt from Pedro Show. I just heard B.C. Gilbert left the band, so maybe there's no more Wire. Now, you picked that, Juliana?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get to see them?
No, never got to see them.
I've seen them a couple times, but never in those days.
Got a signed poster from my sister Lisa's boyfriend, Kenny, worked for the Fillmore for years, and she gave me that. That's cool. Cool thing to have signed by all of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have it framed.
Yeah, when I first saw him, I think it was 87 or 88, me and Raymond went, and Graham Lewis got all barracho, and we had to help get the guy in the car. I think Brendan put on the show. Yes, just to help him out. The guy had, like, patent leather boots on up to his knees. I had a long talk with B.C. Gilbert, Bruce, and... He's a very nice man. Older guy. I think he's 60 now. So maybe he's just tired. Before Wire, we had Rocky Erickson on the radio, I think. No, it was a session with Sam Sham. Was it a Texas guy?
So,
Sam. What's his name? Sam and the Sham? Doug Sham and the Sam? He had his own band in the 60s. Anyway, that was Goodbye Sweet Dreams. And Little Wings before that. I told you about this cat from San Luis Obispo named Kyle. I met him on the Altamara Party Tour and our festival in December. And his father's big sports coach. And Kyle's kind of tall. It says his daddy always pressured him for athletics. I want to say. I want to play bass. Kind of clash. But you gotta be your own man. You can't be. You'll always be your father's son, but just because he. Well, we know the moral of that. Ah, we're coming up on the end of the first hour. I gotta tell you these other songs. We had before Lil Wings, Ergs with Everything Falls Apart and More. I thought it might have been a cover of the Husker song since they covered Crimey last time we played. And we start off with X, Your Phone's Off the Hook. Juliana, you picked that. Tell us why.
Tell us why? Well, I saw X play with Firehouse. X is always a cool band in my mind. They played at my grad night. Mary Star at Disneyland. Yeah, that was kind of a trip. It always tripped me out how the guitar player would just stand in one place and
Billy
run
Zoom.
Back and forth. Yeah, with the big hair.
Big grin.
Big grin, big hair. Yeah, never, other than that, very stoic. But, I thought they were a fun band.
He came from the rockabilly scene.
Yeah.
I think he played with Roy Campy and those people. Incredible musician. He's an older gentleman, too. But they're still playing around.
Yeah.
John Doe was in that movie.
Yeah,
I saw him.
He's always been a hero of mine. Anyway, we're at the end of the first hour. Watt from Pedro Show, March 4th, 2005 edition, Hang Tight for Hour 2. March 4th, 2005, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Buried at the end of the album. It's not actually credited, but it's in there. This is great coffee. I'll have a warm bath. I'll have a bottle of wine. I'll put myself to bed. And I'll feel just fine. But don't talk to me about Gene Hackman. He's got an evil grin. He's got curly hair. And every time he smiles, it means trouble somewhere, Wayne. But don't talk to me about Gene Hackman. He's in every film, sometimes wearing a towel. And if it isn't him, you get Andy McDowell. But don't talk to me about Gene Hackman. Don't talk to me at all. Don't say hello. You could be Gene himself for all I know. Oh, let's move it on. In Unforgiven, he was totally mean. But when he got his,
you've seen it,
he really felt for Gene. So don't talk to me about Gene Hackman. I'll have a cold shower. I'll have a bottle of juice. If I can't call Winona, then I won't call Bruce. But don't talk to me about G-E-N-E-H-A-C-K-M-A-N Gene Hackman. Thanks.
Yep. Sure, she loves it.
Yeah, when they made that documentary, Nanook was killed like 8 or 9 months after they made it. It's true. His whole life.
Made it just in time.
Trippy song. And then we played a song before that you picked, Juliana. Gene Hackman by Robin Hitchcock. Tell us something about that.
Just seemed like a funny song. of what circles Robin Hitchcock and Gene Hackman would follow together, know each other. I don't know. It was a trippy thing for him to write a song about.
Yeah.
Plus of the fact that he seems like a funny guy.
And he's the soft voice guy.
Yeah, so.
And we started off the second hour with a band from England. Couldn't find out which town, but they were called WWX. And that was what something they called the Mighty Minuteman Suite. They actually
cool.
do three songs.
Yeah, that was
Weird
cool.
World. Ain't Talking About Love, which actually wasn't a Minuteman song. It's a Van Halen song, so it was a cover of a cover. And then Party With Me Punker. So that was a nice little medley from them guys.
Yeah, that's cool.
And now it's my pleasure to bring aboard Brother Matt in a spin cycle.
Thank you.
Thank you. thought you all might begin your tour here.
treatment you'll never forget.
Let's begin now.
in. We need a better home to live in. In order to get it, we're going to have a genuine bond.
Watt from Pedro show. Oh, we've got some. That was Nels Klein, live at Kilby Court. But I don't know the name of the tune. But it is with his Nels Klein singers, live. And kind of a contrast to Brother Matt Spinsagel there. So we're at the end of the second hour, the March 4th, 2005 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Hang tight for hour three. March 4th, 2005. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's part three of Dreams of Rio.
Jack Flanders was contacted by an old woman, Mine Josepha. Jack was instructed to meet Mine Josepha at the Orishas Club in Rio.
Here, something good to drink.
Was it the strange herbal tea that he drank? Was it the stifling heat?
Whoever finds the lost city, it can never be found, will be rich.
He found himself in the jungle, among ancient ruins where sacrifices were once performed.
An altar?
It's the place to receive dreams.
When a mask was placed over Jack's face, he saw things quite differently.
This is the city. You must return here. You can't find it again, do you understand?
Later that evening, having coffee with his friend Carmen at a sidewalk cafe.
The African religions are very strong in Brazil, especially in the state of Bahia. And the gods are called Orisha.
He was presented with a minor revelation.
The Orisha's club.
Si, senor.
And finally, in the middle of the night, Jack's sleep was interrupted by a call from Professor Vargas.
The museum was broken into this evening.
The skull?
Oh, yes, they took that too.
And now, week three of Dreams of Rio.
Mr. Vargas.
Please, sit down.
What's going on over there?
The political rally.
Who for?
The ruling party is trying to elect their man for governor.
Hmm. So, tell me, what happened at the museum?
Oh, they took everything. All my research, everything.
Do you think Paulo Pompadoro was involved?
Why?
Well, your name was given to me by an associate of Paulo's.
Why didn't you tell me?
I assumed you knew.
Why did he assume that?
I don't know. She mentioned your name as though she knew you.
Who mentioned my name?
Carla Davila, or whatever her real name is.
Who is Carla Davila?
You know, it looks like we've both been set up.
Now, that is an accurate assumption.
I could do with a beer.
Me too.
Is it the Orishas Club? Blech. What a dump.
Ay, Carmen, do you really want to go in there? No, you don't. Wee, what a dump.
So you're saying the skull is pre-Inca?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Well, then if what you just said is true, these people fled from the Spaniards?
No, no, no. This happened many years before the conquistadors invaded Peru.
So you're saying they were the ones that foresaw the coming of the conquistadors and fled from Peru into the Amazon basin?
That's essentially correct.
Where did they go?
That is for us to discover.
Us?
I don't like this place. I don't like how it looks. I don't like how it feels. What was that? A giant rat? Oh, no, thank God. Just a Brazilian cockroach. I don't like how it smells. I don't like what I hear. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't.
Is it possible for an entire city to have been built in the Amazon and yet no one has discovered the ruins?
Intriguing thought, isn't it? We are dealing with such a vast area, one could fit all of Germany, France, England, well, all of Europe into the Amazon basin.
But still, wouldn't there be local Indians that know something about this?
The Indians have many stories about regions they would not enter because they were considered evil. And don't forget, we are talking about a city 4 or 5 stories high.
Really? I thought the jungle was flat.
Not totally flat. There's rocks and hills, valleys and caves.
Caves? In the Amazon jungle?
Oh, yes. And the vegetation is so thick, you could be right there and not even know that you're walking the streets of what once was a city.
What am I doing here? This is crazy. Carmen, you are crazy. Where is that music coming from? What are they doing? Ay, no sé si quiero saber. Well, so, I'm crazy.
Do you know where this lost city is?
Approximately.
The people who robbed the museum, who took your research, can they figure it out?
Not immediately. I don't believe they can, but eventually, yes.
And you're having possession of the skull. That triggered the theft.
Yes.
But why? It's the key, isn't it?
No one here. Good. Yes? Señora Josefa?
Yes, it's me.
I would like to speak with you.
Come in, Carmen. We've been expecting you.
You've been expecting me?
Yes, we have.
I'm sorry. The skull was my responsibility. All I have to give you are these photos I took.
Can I keep these?
Oh, yes. They're yours.
You know, I've wondered about these designs. They're symbols. It's almost like a map.
It is. But not one that can easily be deciphered.
Why is that?
The symbols represent animal spirits and other deities. The legend is they protect the city.
Protect it?
Yes. Cloak it from the eyes of man, but not from everyone. The key, your favorite expression I've noticed, is a man or woman who is able to communicate with the proper spirits.
Communicate?
Yes.
Huh.
I don't know. Well, perhaps you know.
I wish I did know.
Yes. I also wish you did know.
you like something to drink?
No, thank you.
Not even something cool?
No, no.
Ah. Please sit down. I will speak to you in a moment.
I have a question.
Shh. A moment.
What do you expect to find?
Oh, the usual. Tombs, hieroglyphic inscriptions, pottery, masks, sculpture.
Masks?
Yes. Probably some carved monuments and smaller artifacts.
The usual. Look, what are your chances of actually finding this city?
I don't know. But the theft forces me to move now. If they find it first, the site will be looted of anything of value, and what's left, the fragments, will be just more pieces to an impossible puzzle.
There is a disturbance in the air. Old gods that have been resting are now being called upon. They are hungry. They are thirsty. Oh, destinies are at work with a vengeance.
I would like you to join my expedition.
Why?
I need an associate. Someone I can trust.
Why me?
I thought you would be interested. You're not?
I have been set up.
What does that mean?
Set up? I don't know why, but I don't like it. I want to find out who's behind it.
It seems obvious. Paolo Pompadour.
Paolo, yes. And others.
You think I'm one of the people responsible?
Are you?
Of course. He is playing with a force that is very old. Very old. And not human.
You trust no one?
No.
I trust you. I want you to join me. All right?
Why do you need me?
You are the key. If you change your mind, you know where I am. Goodbye, Mr. Candace.
I can't figure that guy. I can't figure anyone here. I have the feeling everyone wants something from me, but no one will say what it is. And what about Carla? Is she...
Surprised to see you.
Carla, or whatever your name is. I thought you vanished.
No, Jack, no, no, no. I am very fond of you. I feel you and I can do wonderful things together.
Oh, great.
Yes, great things. Come, let's have a drink.
Okay.
If you could evoke a power to help you, would you?
I don't understand you. First you say I am here to help him, then to protect me, then you tell me that...
Go to Paraty.
Paraty? But what's there?
If you choose to follow this way, you must trust. Then you can help him, not before.
But I still don't understand
go
why...
Go to Paraty.
Listen. They are playing our song.
Yeah, our song.
You know, Jack, I had nothing to do with the museum, the robbery, nothing.
Oh, I believe you.
You do? You are such a sweet.
And you're telling me Paolo had nothing to do with it?
Oh, Paolo, I don't know. No more do I work for Paolo. No more. You had something Paolo wants.
You mean something else, don't you?
He would do anything to get it.
He would? Look, how do I know I can trust you?
But of course you can trust me.
Yeah. What do you want?
I told you. what I want more than anything else. You forgot?
Money.
Lots of money.
I love your honesty, your sincerity, your... What is your name?
Carla.
Where's Paolo?
I don't know. But watch out. He'll get you.
Short Talk Detroit. International Private Investigator. Good morning or good afternoon, whichever is appropriate from whatever time zone you're calling from.
Bon dia, grazie.
Ooh, wow.
Como vai?
Mr. Pompadora?
Yeah.
Muito bem, obrigado.
Se quer aprender um pouco de português, eu acho que não é.
Ooh, wow.
I can help you. Don't you care? I need to listen.
Huh? Oh, I was listening to the piano. Reminds me of someone I once knew.
You think of another woman when you are with Carla?
No, Carla, it was... Is that really your name, Carla Davila?
Close enough.
I was thinking of a piano player I met in Tangier.
Listen, when Short Talk calls from São Paulo, give him a message.
Whatever you say, Mr. Pompadora.
Tell him to meet me in Paraty.
Where?
Paraty. P-A-R-A-T-I.
I.
He can rent a car or take a bus.
Rent a car or take a... What bus should he take?
The Eval Bus Company. Eval. E B A L. Eval.
Evil Bus Company. I don't know if we'll want to take that.
Cares as long as we meet tomorrow.
Look, Carla, I can't make you rich. So what do you want from me?
I know something.
Oh, I bet you do.
Something that will help you and the professor.
And in return, you want.
Gold. I want gold.
Lots of gold.
Mm-hmm. No. Just one little piece of gold.
Sounds reasonable.
A mask.
I think the mask you want is not something to fool with.
No.
No.
Oh, you make me so unhappy. Oh. Eu tô com vontade de chorar.
Tough.
Do you have that?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell him. Paraty.
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 Paraty. T, T.
Oh, I love Brazilian. It's
been a pleasure, as always.
Thinking about someone who knows about voodoo, and well, you mentioned Bahia as a hotbed of African religions.
Oh,
so.
I like that song.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of songs about eyes tonight.
What?
Nothing.
Nothing. I say what? You say nothing. I say nothing. You say what?
What?
Nothing. I think I would like to go to Bahia.
Fine. Why don't you come along?
You fly to Salvador?
Yeah, midnight.
Hmm? maybe I'll go to Bahia.
Good.
But now, no. I go to Paraty.
Where?
Oh, it's a little village, very old village. I think they used to send the gold from Paraty to Portugal.
Gold?
Mm-hmm. The streets of Paraty are built like canals to drain off storm water. And then when the moon is full, the tide comes in and swooshes the streets.
Swooshes, huh? Sounds great.
Yes. Would you like me to go to the airport with you?
Okay. Sure. The flight's delayed.
Chamada final, portão 5. Tem PM Shuttle 7, Situ, Brasília.
I'm hungry.
Final call, gate 5.
You know, there's a restaurant up there. You know, there's a strange trade-off here. What they lack for in good old American efficiency, they make up with a personal touch, you know? I mean, people behind the counters actually talk to you. It's amazing.
Senhor Paulo Aguirre, Vasco Voo 284, comparecer ao balcão de informações da companhia, segundo andar, setor A. Mr. Paulo Aguirre, Vasco Fly 284.
Reported conference counter, second class, sector 8. I continue in Paris. Embarque, Puerto Rico. You know, I don't think I've ever been in an airport restaurant before that had a live chamber orchestra.
Ooh, Fiddler on the Roof?
Possibly.
It's perfect.
Perfect?
Yes. Good music, good food.
Yes, I see what you mean. Mm.
So, you go to Bahia to speak with the gods, huh?
Well, I was thinking, you know, being a disembodied spirit is very different.
No.
Yeah. Gods don't have to figure out what to wear to work. They don't have to go to the bathroom, shampoo, shower, brush their teeth.
They don't have to go shopping.
Well, there you go. No shopping.
Do you think they can snap their fingers for whatever they want?
What fingers?
Where does it come from?
You mean the stuff they want?
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Maybe there are malls. Malls after death. And speaking of frightening thoughts, why is there a fried egg on my steak?
I don't know. But I think it just winked at me.
Mm-hmm. Why is it when you order Brazilian food every time, why does it always come with potatoes and rice?
Not always.
No, not always?
Sometimes it comes with potatoes, rice, and spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to go.
Where will you stay?
The Otham Palace Hotel.
Have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
Just
seen so much green in my whole life. What's that sound?
What? Move aside, man. Move aside.
Who are you?
I am Senor Bulldoza.
What are you doing, Mr. Bulldoza?
I am making jungle food.
Why?
Why? You grow hamburgers.
Hamburgers?
See, Mac burgers.
Mac burgers?
Max for men.
Max for men?
Macho Max.
Macho Max.
Big Macho Max.
You're leveling the jungle to grow Macho Max?
Mucho Macho Max.
Mucho.
Mucho Macho Max.
Why?
Why?
Yes, I want to know why.
Because some people are very good at what they do. And what they do is control your mind.
Huh?
Now you know, move aside.
But how? How do they do it?
Oh, Senor Bulldoza is coming through.
No, wait. Wait.
Senor Bulldoza will tread all over you.
No, stop. Stop. Oh. I'm being... What? Mr. Bulldoza, I...
Está acontecendo? Senhor? Senhor, despierte. Você se sente enfermo?
What?
Avevo bisogno di qualcosa.
I...
Che c'è? Cosa c'è?
What?
Is something wrong?
Oh, no. Just a dream, I think.
the beast. Amazing angels, short cut. We cannot play it, God, God.
Hello, Eurovision. Neil Point, Ljubljana.
First, I have to express my great pleasure that I have opportunity to speak to Mark Stewart. And first, I would like to ask, your previous album was released back in 1990. So, what have you been doing last 6 years?
I've been working on a control data book, which has now turned into a kind of website and CDI game. I've been musically helping lots of people in the background. I helped Tricky do his first record. Mm-hmm. I've done some work with Living Colour, which was quite interesting, and I've just been helping a lot of other people in the background with some kind of dance stuff and things. But this is I made another album in Bristol.
Yes.
About 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, but I scrapped it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was coming over here to Ibiza a lot, and I was going to, like, techno clubs in Japan when we were touring there, and I was, like, listening to lots of really good music coming out of, like, Germany, the Trezor stuff and the Underground Resistance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really getting into wanting to use the kind of technoid sounds, not make a techno record, but use those kind of sounds that I liked and be able to pick from that, like I did before with, like, reggae or hip-hop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of, I was hearing all these really good sounds I wanted to incorporate into my own hybrid, so I kind of started again.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose if that album had come out, it would have been the first of that kind of Bristol, you know, whatever.
Right. And as we know, you resided from England to Ibiza.
Yeah, but I spend a lot of time here because my girlfriend lives here, but I'm still in London and Bristol a lot. You know, I was in mm-hmm. Bristol last week. I'm only here like a week, a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working really hard at the moment.
Yeah. And what would be the content of the book?
Well, the book
yeah.
has now turned into this kind of CDI, and a lot of it is going to come out free on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I'm just continuously kind of writing and researching, right? And some of the ideas go into songs. And the only way I can explain it is it's going to be like a control data CDI.
Yes.
And, for example, there's a song on the album called The Half That's Never Been Told. And from that, you'll be able to access, like, lots of conspiracy theories, real history, things about the Dead Sea Scrolls and lots of other interesting information that I can't fit into songs. And then you'll be able to link up to other kind of websites in the States and stuff. Another one, Digital Justice, is going to be a kind of shoot them up, you know, about the Gulf War, when you're going to be able to mm-hmm. kind of fly in a kind of, you know, simulated plane cockpit and stuff. It's all going to be triggered from that. But in the States, it's going to be marketed more as a kind of game, really, post kind of burn cycle game, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not too excited about this new technology. And the whole idea of control data is, do you control data, or does data control you?
Yeah.
But it's interesting for me to work in these forms. I think maybe CDI is not going to be a good format. It's going to die like the Betamax or something. But sooner or later, everybody's going to have fiber optical cables into their house.
That's right.
And you'll be able to access it. And if you want to access some of my stuff and then use the information to do some research to access something else,
mm-hmm.
then great, you know?
So do you think that it will be possible in the near future to access every information in the world?
No, because already there's a control of the information. For example, Bill Gates from Microsoft is buying the copyright at this
That's
moment
right. yeah.
to all the kind of major artworks in the world. Lots of stuff is already kind of classified. Lots of stuff is difficult to access due to economics of the hardware and stuff, you know. The whole ideas of democracy and access to the net is a political battle which is being fought at this moment, you know.
Yeah.
They've already kind of trying to encrypt it in the States. They're trying to censor it in the States. It is a very important political battle, you know, because it's not us that's going to be the techno children. It's our children. And these kind of digital silicon empires and structures mm-hmm. that are being built, we have to kind of fight for democracy and access on them now. Otherwise, they'll just end up as kind of neutered surveillance home shopping channels, you know?
Mm-hmm. But why don't you put your lyrics on the sleeves of the records?
The people, you always hear that. But I apologize to people whose English is not very good.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of the way the voice is buried and the voice moves in and out of the mix,
mm-hmm,
is important to the message.
Yeah.
And if the words were written down on paper, I'd write something else.
Yeah.
I'm kind of making kind of little filmscapes. I'm like, on one of the songs about this kind of red zone, you're kind of walking in and out of the sound, you know? And if it was any louder, it would take away from the energy of the mix. Sometimes some of the things are not meant to be understood, or they're meant to be processed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea of dub. Things jump out here and there, and every time you listen to it, you hear something a bit different. And if I was to write a text, it would be different to what I'd use in a song.
That's right, yeah.
You know, because you can get more emotion in the spoken word and things can jump out. There is confusion in life, you know. There's meant to be confusion in there. And to read it just straight, I'd write something else.
And also, your lyrics very seldom deal with particular event, for instance. It's not story, song as story, but just expression about events.
Yeah, I receive ideas and images and information all the time. And all I'm doing is through the songs and the music is saying these ideas are interesting to me. I'm not saying I'm totally right or I'm totally wrong or being so ideological. I'm just saying that these ideas about history, these ideas about economics, these ideas about weird science throw a question mark over what we're led to believe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm right and you're totally wrong. I'm just saying it's like if I was in the pub, we'd be arguing about certain, you know, similar things. You know, it's just if I was writing you a letter, I'm not being so kind of pedantic.
And have you ever felt as a part of a particular scene, even
no,
in the pop group time, maybe?
No. The only scene I felt a real part of was the kind of hip-hop scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, and in Bristol, there was a really, really strong hip-hop scene, more than London. In London, it was more just a kind of fashion stussy people who got into hip-hop.
Yeah.
But in Bristol, it took off and all the kind of kids from the estates and on the street got into it. And my mates, who were now Massive Attack, were DJing every night in these clubs. And we'd all go out and kind of, you know, dance, and I felt part of that kind of thing. And I like the kind of hip-hop mentality when it's more respect for the beats than the kind of ego, you know?
Yeah.
If I've ever felt part, and to a certain extent, the right at the beginning of punk in England was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to see the Clash and the Subway Sector stuff, again, just for the first few months.
Yeah. But were the pop group the part of this this scene at the end of the 70s?
No, because what was happening, again, because are you in the capital?
Yeah.
Bristol is a smaller city than the capital, right? And
yeah,
and you see, what you read about in the magazines and what you see from a distance is more London.
Mm-hmm.
In Bristol, we were going to funk clubs when we were like 14 or 15, and everybody was dressing up in kind of 50s clothes, you know, and that was the kind of scene. And there was this kind of Avon Soul Army, and all the kind of people who thought they were a little bit cool would go to these funk clubs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we grew as much out of that tradition as we did from a kind of rock tradition. So, and with the pop group, we were trying to play funk.
Yeah.
But because we couldn't play very well, all these kind of older journalists from the Enemy and the Melody Maker thought we were avant-garde and weird and trying to play jazz just because our time signatures were off, you know?
Uh-huh. But to me, the pop group sounded very well, not the band that didn't know how to play anyway.
Yeah, a lot of it was the disrespect and the technique and the stuff we did in the studio, you know? It was just ideas. It's like if you're trying to paint a picture, even if you can't paint, you can translate your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
More with the sounds and the kind of music concrete stuff. No, they've just put out that pop group stuff, the first pop group album again in England like last month. And I was fighting for ages to kind of, I didn't really want it coming out because I see I always see the stuff I'm working on as mm-hmm, more relevant. I don't really look to the past, you know?
Yeah.
And I see more of my peers with like this Control Data stuff as like Underground Resistance, you know, and Richie Horton and Black Dog and B12 and even some of the kind of thrash metal coming out of the States. There's like really good new music coming out that I think I think my stuff's as relevant to.
Mm-hmm.
Than keep on looking to something from the past, you know?
Mm-hmm. You have collaborated with Adrian Sherwood and members of Tuckheads for many years, so I wonder when and how did you meet them?
Well, again, it goes back to Bristol, and it goes back to the hip-hop tradition in Bristol, because originally, after the pop group split up, right?
Yeah.
I was working with a kind of reggae-based mafia who were, like, some of the best kind of Jamaican musicians living in England, and they were the people who played with, like, Gregory Isaacs and the Revolutionaries and stuff, and we had a really good reggae base to the band, right? And I was experimenting with Adrian. But then through these, as I was saying, through the hip-hop club, this dugout club in Bristol, where Grant from Massive Attack used to DJ.
Yeah.
They, every time anybody went to the States to get like 12 inches or trainers or anything, they'd make tapes of WBLS and Kiss, the original New York radio stations. And Red Alert had a show, Africa Bambaataa had a show, and these tapes were brilliant, like live hip-hop radio stations, right? Mm-hmm. And there was one particular tape of like these crazy drum machines with a rocket taking off, and I just kept on listening to it, and it was brilliant. I kept on playing it to Adrian.
Yeah.
And it was on Tommy Boy, right? And just by chance, Adrian went to this music festival thing in Meadham. Tommy Boy's stand was opposite our New Sound stand,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like a ferry. And Adrian went across and said, there's this mad friend of mine from Bristol who's really into your stuff. Do you know, could you get me the phone number, this person? It was Keith LeBlanc. I ended up speaking to him, right, getting him over here.
Yeah.
And getting Doug and Keith over, Doug and Skip, and they were just really pleased to be able to experiment, you know?
Yeah.
So that kind of opened the access to that. I mean, they were playing brilliant funky stuff, but it was quite kind of regimented, you know?
Mm-hmm. And on your album Control Data, the drummer Keith LeBlanc is not present. And also there's a new member, keyboard player Simon Monday.
Yeah.
So is it so because you wanted more electronic, even techno-oriented sound? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Simon is an old friend of mine, and he was one of the first English acid house people at the same time as Adamski and a couple of other people. He was one of the only person. He was like one of the first English electronic kind of acid house people going out and playing synths live under the name of Mr. Monday. And he had a big worldwide kind of dance hit under the name of Mr. Monday Future, right, which Ministry of Sound have just reissued. And he's been a friend for years. And when I was thinking about who I could get involved to kind of co-write and program these sounds up and who could draw on that kind of encyclopedia of sounds, I immediately thought of Simon. So me and Simon write the initial kind of sketches of the songs in a computer, then we take it in the studio and kind of overlay Doug and Skip and on most of the tracks on this one, the drums were already kind of pre-programmed.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the live setup, we're working about how to use live drums against the programmed drums. So we're going to have Keith playing live on the new.
Oh yeah, that's my next
more,
question.
You know?
Okay, is Control Data just the title of the album, or does it mean something else?
So well, I'm writing all these what I call neo slogans, right? And Control Data is my idea of this kind of fake mega corporation I'm going to set up with like a CDI wing, a computer wing, a biotech wing. It's just a kind of Gibson-esque kind of idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see massive Control Data kind of like IBM things all over the place. But that's just a kind of dream. But it's also a slogan in the fact that, as I was saying, do you control data or does data control you?
Yeah. And it's quite difficult to classify your music. So it would be interesting to hear what music do you like or admire. You said before that there's some techno stuff and some metal stuff also. Maybe something else in Bristol happening going on recently.
Yeah. We just did a gig in Bristol like a week ago, right? And I've been spending quite a lot of time in Bristol. What's happening in Bristol now is the second wing of what people have defined as the Bristol sound is coming through.
Yeah.
And it's like lots of our friends who weren't working when all our lot were working, and they're now producing this kind of trippy kind of jungle, jazzy jungle stuff, but with a real Bristol mentality, which is totally different to the jungle from London or Nottingham or anything, right? It's really quite interesting. There's this stuff coming out on Smith & Mighty's label.
Mm-hmm.
Amos and Andy, Floor and Flynn, Native Drums. There's some really interesting stuff coming out of, like, you know, the second generation of all our gang.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to lots of stuff. As I was saying, I listen to things like Fear Factory, Sepultura, Corrosion of Conformity, through to, like, Jack Brel and, like, you know. But even through to stuff like Deep House, you know, and, like, gospel-y stuff, all sorts of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And still lots of old kind of classic 70s dub, you know.
Yeah.
Keep the faith kind of thing, and you know, we're going to try and come over and do some gigs over there, hopefully, in like September or something.
No, that's fine. If it's possible.
If possible.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Mark, for this short conversation, and hopefully see you in September in Ljubljana.
All right, mate.
Yeah, bye.
Good luck, yeah?
Yeah, bye.
Cheers.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Mark Stewart, singer of the pop group, in a phone interview with Yanis. for college radio in Ljubljana, Slovenia, 1996. You know, the pop group ended in 80, 81. And from there, Mark Stewart did stuff like Mafia. Before that, we had some pop group, Sense of Purpose. And ahead of that, we had Adelie by Frank Black. Juliana, you picked that.
Mm-hmm.
Want to tell us something about that?
Well, that was a guy my sister turned me on to, and I remember getting this kind of cheesy tape with just a stencil, you know, letters of his name on it, and then hearing it for weeks in my car, and then finally seeing the guy, and didn't really match his voice, it just kind of tripped me out, man. And just seemed like it was good music at the time, so like to see him live.
Yeah.
He's still around.
His 40th birthday. Yeah, well, he just did this massive Pixie store.
Yeah.
It was huge. He's turning 40. I think April 6th. So, yeah, happy birthday, Charlie. Just had a son. Maybe a month ago. And very cool people. He asked me to make it one day... make some jazz music with him.
Oh, cool.
I said, sure. He's really into collecting this old recording gear, old analog stuff. Because a lot of the Frank Black stuff he did live to two-track. No overdubbing.
Oh.
That's pretty wild. Somebody told me Gang of Four. Well, you know who told me? Hugo, the drummer. He writes me and stuff and... told me they did some gigs in England. I think they're going to be at this Coachella in the desert.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All the original guys. Said some are Bellin. I think he is. But that's a trip. So all the bands get back together. Reunite. You were at the Queen Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Beefheart? Magic Band?
We were loading your stuff in.
That's right.
There, so I kind of caught a little bit of
it. It was drum. Some of the guys who played with them, yeah. Like Drumbo and mm-hmm. Rocket Morton.
Yeah.
Gary Lucas.
Yeah, we didn't stay for the gig part.
But you pick some Beefheart again. We're going to play some more right
cool.
now, right? And we played some last week with Bob Lee, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Beefheart, favorite with everyone. But of course, you know where he got his name?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I read this interview. Maybe it was Rolling Stone or something. He said it was because he had a beef with the world in his heart.
That's cool. That's a trip.
Here it is, Wap for Pedro Show.
she walked into a bar that set him up and got right out of town. Cause she picked him up a clinic and she laid a lot of them down. Woman liked long neck bottles and a big head on her beard. Now you got that down, you got that down. Well, I don't like to talk about my women, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Then I'm gonna get right out of town. Well, one night she got to drinking, got out and shot up the town. I'll be damned, she didn't bring an airplane down. I don't like to talk about my women, but this one, y'all could, y'all know, could chuck them down.
Declares war.
Set up the keg.
Words of war.
Should a word have two meanings?
What the fuck for?
Should words save the truth?
For Pedro Show. That was another band from England playing Minuteman.
Cool.
Econo Man. Do you want New Wave or do you want the truth? Much respect to you, brothers. Before that, we had Honeysuckle with All of It in You, and started with Long Neck Bottles, Cat Beefheart. Juliana, you picked that.
Yep.
Okay. Much respect to Beefheart.
Yep.
The captain. Smooth sailing. We're at the end of the 2005, March 4, edition of Watt from Pedro Show. I just want to say much respect to Raymond Pettibone's father, Regis, who passed away. He was always a good friend of me and intense man, so I'll miss him much. Helped us all out, the flag guys, and all SST guys, so we'll be missing him much. Brother Matt, thank you for the well-needed assist in your spin cycle. Juliana, thank you much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
That was great. Tony, you going to come on next week and read some writing? 2 weeks?
Yep.
Okay, do that. We want to hear about sugar. Okay. All you people out there, keep your powder dry.